Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Hello and welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we're continuing our series leading up to the 2019 Chipotle USA Hockey National Championships. We're talking to Ken Rausch, who is the director of youth hockey and is extremely instrumental in the organization of putting nationals together, schedules, and helping working with the committee to help select teams. So anyway, we're just Ken's taking a couple minutes out of all the work he's got to do to talk to us today. So Ken, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Harry. It's always great to be on your podcast.
So I just wanted to talk a little bit about, so obviously we're a couple weeks out from the start of the drop of the puck in Cleveland, which will be the site of the high school nationals. How are things going overall?
Good. We actually had our last team qualify last night. The state of Virginia had their championship, so their team qualified. And we were hoping to get the schedule out in the next couple of days, so we were waiting on that. But things are moving nicely. We've got three divisions this year in that tournament. We've got the Division One, which is pure high school teams. That's a 16-team tournament. We got Division Two, which is combined high school teams. That's also a 16-team tournament. And this is the second year of girls' high school, and we've grown that from four teams last year to six teams this year.
Oh, that's awesome. With the growth of girls' hockey around the United States, this obviously looks like something that could really has a lot of potential for the future.
Yeah, and it's obviously in its infancy stages, where the boys' tournament was almost 10 years ago, where it was the first year and struggling to get some teams. But, it's growing, and hopefully we keep growing it to get to the size of the boys' teams.
Nice, nice. Well, you know, organizing a USA Hockey National Championships is truly a team effort. Can you talk a little bit about the work that goes into it and the various people? What you've got national office staff, you've got volunteers, you've got local host committees. I mean, it really does take a small army to put one of these on.
Yeah, we could probably take the whole 10 minutes of this podcast or 15 minutes or however long this is going to be and not even get to probably all the names of people who are involved. But in short, like you said, there are some national staff people, myself, Jody Penn, Kristen Ryder, heavily involved in planning and the logistics of national championships, as well as other people in the office. Again, I don't mean to leave anyone out, but then you have our volunteer base. You have people like Mike Mulhall, who's the national tournament chairperson, T.C. Lewis, who was his interim guy last year when Mike had some business things and some other issues that he was dealing with and didn't quite have the time to do everything. So Mike and TC are heavily involved. And then you have all the hosts and people on site, not to mention our kind of district directors and people involved on the board of directors who serve as either lead directors or directors at the tournament. And again, with all the different sites we have and how many different venues we have, I couldn't even come close to naming everyone right now. And then, like you said, the host people, the people who the arenas that are going on, the internal hosts, so there's just it's literally probably a cast of thousands when you talk about who's involved in our national championships.
Oh, absolutely. So when does the whole thing start? I mean, from soup to nuts, when do you, like a host is selected and all the way through. I mean, how long of a process is that?
Yeah, believe it or not, we're actually almost 2 years out of planning stages. So next year's hosts are already awarded, and we've got applications coming in already for the following year. So we award sites a year and a half, almost 2 years out. So we've already started planning for even the next round of national championships. So it really is a never-ending process.
So I know you're heavily involved in how the teams are selected and also helping to put the schedule together, which is a Herculean task. So we'll take this in bite-sized pieces, but I wanted to talk about how teams are selected. Since high school is the first tournament that's coming up, you talked about there's the pure, then there's the combined, and then there's the girls. How are those teams selected?
It actually depends on the affiliate and by state. There's a declaration date in our national tournament guidebook that the affiliates have to notify us that they intend to put a team in. And for the first time ever, we've actually had a wait list for teams. And again, it's I don't want to say it's a first-come, first-served basis, but it's in order of which the way you get your declarations in. So we've actually had more teams interested this year for the first time ever than we've had spots available for the national tournament. Some states are will send their state champion. Some will do a fall league champion, whatever it may be. So each state is a little bit different in the way that you can qualify for nationals.
All right. Now let's talk boys tier one, whether it's a 16-team tournament at both the 14, 15 only, 16 and under, and 18 and under.
Correct. Like you said, it's a 16 tournament and it's a seeded tournament. It's our only seeded tournament on the U side. And what that means is 12, each of the 12 districts gets a representative, and we have four at-large teams. And again, there's a committee that's the National Tournament Committee that helps to pick those four at-large teams. And it's not an easy task because there's a lot of good hockey teams out there. As we sit today, about half of the teams have qualified for those spots because most of the states and districts are about halfway over and the rest are going on this weekend, save some weather issues. We've had some issues with the Rocky Mountain District Tournament and the Northern Plains Tournament that got walloped by some snow this past week. So those are starting either a little late or getting modified as we speak. But by Monday of this week, we will have all 12 of the district representatives named. And then Tuesday night, we'll have a conference call to go over those four different age groups as far as who the at-large teams will be.
Wow, I bet you that's an interesting call. I mean, because like you said, there's probably a lot of tough decisions.
Yeah, it is. And it's not a short call either, because you have to cover four different age groups and four teams per. And just like most processes, it's usually easy to pick the first and second team that are going in. But then when you get to 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, you're sometimes splitting hairs. And the unfortunate part is someone's always going to be super excited and someone's always going to be upset with you. And there really is no easy answer for that. And it's kind of like, you know, I liken it to the college selection shows, whether it be men's basketball, women's basketball, men's ice hockey. There's always a last four in and last four out, you know. So no matter what you do, someone's going to be happy and someone's not going to be happy.
Absolutely. So staying with how teams are selected, can you talk a little bit about the Tier 2 tournament, which is obviously a little bit of a bigger tournament?
Yeah, and the Tier 2 is different, again, on the youth side versus the girls' side. On the youth side, we have Tier 2 at 14, 16, and 18 under, and you can have up to 48 teams per, because we're trying to give every team a chance to have a representative. And just kind of like the high school, they have a chance to declare if they want to send a team or not. So not every state has a team what they consider worthy of going to nationals or not. And so I believe off the top of my head, this year's 14 under will have 40 teams. The 16s will have 36 teams. And the 18 will have 32 teams. And they're always divided into three divisions. 3A, which is your highest registration category. 2A would be your middle registration category, and 1A is your lowest registration category. And then we take the number of teams that have declared and try to make them separately as even as possible. So at the 14U tournament, for example, we'll have brackets of 16, 16, and 8. At the 16 bracket age, we'll have 16, 12, and 8. And then at the 18s, we'll have 16, 8, and 8 in those respective divisions.
Wow. And not to leave out girls tier one, how are they selected?
Girls tier one is very similar to the boys tier one. They have a 16-team seeded tournament with the each district being represented and at-large teams. And now their tier two tournament is different than the boys, where they have a 16-team tournament as well. Again, each district gets a representative. I believe the host gets a representative. And then they have a couple of at-large teams that they pick as well. And that's not necessarily based on rankings per se. Sometimes it's moving around the affiliates or the districts that have gone in the past and trying to make more teams get an opportunity to go. And just for reference, all this can be found on pages 20 and 21 of our National Tournament Guidebook.
Nice. That's good to know. So a couple of years ago, USA Hockey added a 15 and only tournament. A 15-only tournament. Can you talk a little bit about not only the genesis, the purpose behind doing that, and also, in your opinion, how has it gone? Has it lived up to the expectations that you and the other people in the youth hockey department have thought about when you came up with the idea?
Yeah, I believe this is year four of it, if I'm not mistaken. It's either three or four. I can't even go back that far and remember. But I think it's been a great success. It's been really well received. We've moved it now to the USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, where the first 2 years it was not. It was coupled with the 14U tournament, but now it's a standalone tournament with 16 teams only, and it's generated a ton of interest. And at some point, I think we'd love to get this on TV, whether it be on ESPN or whatever network would be willing to show it. I mean, with all the other youth national championships on TV, it's a great event. That being said, you asked how it's been received. It's been great. The advent of it is, I think a few years ago, we started to look at the rosters of the teams that were involved. And, you know, a couple of years ago when the 14U Tier 1 tournament was in Alaska, I was actually at that tournament. And I just did a quick glance of research with my eyes only and noticed that there were only, I think, seven players who were first-year players, meaning 13-year-olds playing in the 14U Tier 1 tournament. And then we saw that trend continuing up the ladder. So at the 16U 16 under Tier 1 tournament, it was mostly 16-year-olds, and we're trying to find another event for or another way to showcase those 15-year-old players who are really good players, just not quite ready maybe physically, maturity-wise, to play with the 16-year-olds. So we created another age classification, the 15 only, and it's been really, really interesting so far.
And when you talk about well-received, I think one of the things, having gone to that event last year at the USA Hockey Arena, is the number of college coaches and scouts and junior hockey scouts that are there who are really interested in seeing some really, really great players.
Yeah, and it's an internal debate we have. You know, are we feeding the beast a little too much sometimes? And sometimes that answer is yes, but at the same time, we know that those kids need to be able to play against their peers and showcase their abilities. And we know that, you know, with long-term athlete development, we know that not always the best 15-year-old player is going to be the best 20-year-old player and vice versa. But it is a fun event for those kids to be able to experience and really see the first, I guess, big-time event that they can go to at USA Hockey Arena and showcase our arena as well.
Absolutely. Well, you know, all these teams and most of these teams, I should say, and most of these players, they play in multiple tournaments over the course of a season and over the course of their young careers. What makes the USA Hockey Nationals so special?
What makes it special is it's just not another one of those tournaments where you go on a weekend and you try to cram five games into 2.5-3 days. We only play one game a day, including the playoffs. A couple of years ago, we actually got rid of quarterfinals because, again, I'm kind of a stat rat and one of those nerdy types sometimes where I did some research and found that if you won your bracket in the preliminary rounds, I think 97% of our champions had been bracket winners, so that have advanced. So it kind of rendered the quarterfinals moot, especially with a seeded tournament where almost your third day of preliminaries almost became your de facto quarterfinals. But we had some people who wanted to add quarterfinals back in, so we did that last year, but we added an extra day because we believe that at high-level hockey, you never see anywhere, like whether it be junior hockey, college hockey, world juniors, whatever it may be, you know, playing a high level of hockey, you don't play two games in a day. You just can't sustain that pace playing two games in a day. So we've gotten rid of that. So that's probably the biggest difference from any other tournament over the course of the year.
Absolutely. Well, in closing, I just wanted to ask you, you know, you're as close to Nationals as anyone with, you know, I mean, and like you said, I mean, you spend a lot of, you know, your work hours thinking about Nationals. You spend a lot of your after hours thinking about Nationals. Where do you see this event going in the future, or where would you like to see it go in the future?
Ooh, that's a tough question. From a personal standpoint, it eats up literally three of my weeks a year, maybe even more. But it's a fun event. So I think we just keep going with where we're going with it and kind of let it run its natural course and see what happens. But I think, like you said, it would be great to get some of these events maybe on television and not, I mean, right now they're all broadcast on Hockey TV, so you can access them, but to get out to a greater audience and showcase our product and show kind of what USA Hockey is producing and see where we're coming on a national, international stage.
Absolutely. Well, Ken, I know that like I said to begin at the beginning, you're a busy guy, and there's lots to do to get ready for the puck to drop in Cleveland in a couple weeks. So thank you for taking the time, and good luck and have fun along the way.
Thanks. I'm actually going right back to my desk to work on our crossover agendas. One of the things I figured out last night after doing all of them for the youth, the girls, and women's sites, not necessarily all of our national champions, but on the youth, the girls, and women's senior sides, we have 24 different champions that will be crowned.
Wow. Wow. It's going to be a lot of fun and be a great time for hockey in the United States. And like Ken said, you can follow the action at Hockey TV and also on USAHockey.com for all the stats and standings and feature stories from various tournaments. So thanks for your time, Ken, and thank you everybody out there for listening and tune in again for another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
Thanks for having me, Harry.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Jeff Carpenter. Be sure to follow us on USAHockeyMagazine.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.